is the value in the word. That the younger you was writing, golden insights to the world, or the demons you were fighting, grab an older piece of work, grab a seat, let's talk it through, be an open book, let's take a look at paragraphs lost, that's what we do.
You're listening to Paragraphs Lost, a show where writers dig up the work from their early teens. You know, the stuff that made their parents proud enough to keep in the attic, or the fanfiction that lay forgotten on forums, brimming with ambition and unfortunately lost to the world. Each week, our guests pick a story from those years, read them aloud, and learn to forgive themselves for being 13 years old. I'm Tim Hewitt. This week...
And there's like an old wood stove down there that just got super hot, so like it'll just burn fires in there and work out next to it. Super healthy.
You did this for 4 years?
Yeah.
Man.
And my dad came down eating popcorn. And I just like yelled at him. Wow.
Hi, welcome to Paragraphs Lost. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How you doing today?
I am wonderful, Tim. How are you today?
I'm pretty good. What have you brought for me today?
I have brought you one of, well, probably my first completed screenplay.
And when did you write this?
It was right after high school, probably 18, 19 years old, somewhere in that range.
So how many years ago was this for you?
Oh, geez. 13, 14, somewhere like that.
Okay.
Wow, that's...
So as long as I've known you, you've been into film and filmmaking. Was this sort of the start of that?
Yeah. I was really into it in high school. I took a video production class where we made some not great things. I tried writing a screenplay in high school. I was like, I want to write this sweet feature. I got about like 5 pages done. It was like... Wow, this is hard and this is terrible.
So that's about 5 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Your feature length.
About film. That, yeah.
Uh-huh. What was that movie about?
That was about two slacker buddies who believed that they killed a hooker. And then they wanted to like get out of it, but they kept making things worse.
And was that like the whole plot that you had out, or was that just the first 5 pages?
That was like the first 5 pages. I didn't really have much after that.
I could turn this into a feature. You know, that is a more developed plot than a lot of the stuff that I think was coming out at the time you were writing that.
Yeah, it wasn't a great time.
So where did you find these? You brought in some copies of this. We have like they're kind of like stapled with these rusty staples. It looks a bit like a horror movie, and there appear to be burn marks all over this paper you've given me.
Yeah. I'm not sure the story was that. These were in my parents' basement. Pretty much the only like remnants of anything that I wrote at that time from losing all my old email address passwords and all of that. These were actually on the back of a giant storyboard I had made for the film.
You made a storyboard for this?
I did. Actually, I have a picture of it. My dad actually drew it out for me.
Oh my goodness, of every scene here.
We framed it, yeah. It's not what you would say like a traditional storyboard, but it's actually like, the artwork's not bad. Uh-huh. My dad did.
And, wow, this is great.
Yeah.
So that's for those of you listening, a storyboard is sort of like a comics version of the movie that you're going to shoot. It sort of informs what each shot is going to be. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of like the... I guess like the next step in like blueprinting the film, where you really figure out like where you want to put the camera, where you want everybody to move. That movement part I didn't really plan out because I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
But yeah, my dad just had me give him some ideas and he drew it. Yeah.
That's really great. I always really like it when I see families supporting their kids' art. Regardless of, you know, what the story is about. Now this story is, or this script is about another hobby of yours at the time. So I guess this is about wrestling. Can you talk a little bit about that and how involved you were?
Yeah. I had wrestled, all 4 years in high school. And this is about a high school wrestler. I felt like it's something that I knew quite a bit about at the time. Mostly the pieces about cutting weight, which is the part of wrestling that I hated the most.
Was this something you struggled with as well?
Oh, yeah. Weight cutting sucks. Probably my senior year, I walked into first practice around 145, 150. I wrestled at 130.
Mm-hmm.
You naturally lose a little bit of it just from working out all the time. But
right.
Usually, like, the day before, like, you just had to get all the fluid out of your body.
Right.
So
you're always wrestling dehydrated then?
Well, you can, like, rehydrate a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, pretty much, like, you're never really at, like...
your peak performance, but you're at least not wrestling people 10 pounds heavier than you are.
Yeah, that was kind of like the damned if you do, damned if you don't, I guess. Like, if you don't cut weight, yeah, you'll probably be more fresh, but you're wrestling guys that are huge.
Uh-huh. I gotcha. Okay, so this was partially autobiographical, would you say?
Yeah, a little bit. The thing that most probably inspired it was I was cutting weight for a tournament my junior year. I cut weight down in the basement, which is actually the same room that we found these scripts in. And there's, like, an old wood stove down there that just got super hot. So, like, I would just burn fires in there and work out next to it. Super healthy.
And you did this for 4 years?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And my dad came down eating popcorn. And I just like, yelled it. I was like, wow.
So that we'll get into that in the script. So that was actually inspired by your father's actions then?
Yeah, I got really cranky. I don't really show frustration a ton. I feel like I'm pretty level-headed.
Right.
But this is like, I mean, you've seen me on vacation. This is like day 8 of vacation.
All right. So when you wrote this, were you like, did it feel like you were just venting out frustrations about cutting weight? Was this, how long did you stay in wrestling after high school?
So the year after high school, I didn't wrestle. The year, so kind of, I think right after this, I started coaching middle school.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for 3 years. And then, yeah, I switched back to bowling. Which I'm like,
right.
So a sport you can actually eat and drink while doing.
Right. So. That sounds a lot healthier.
Oh, yeah.
mentally healthier.
Yes, definitely.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This was kind of, this was sort of the end of one hobby for you and kind of the beginning of another hobby.
Yeah, like movies were always like an interest of mine. Like I feel like when I wrote this, it was my right getting off my Tarantino train. Like I just pretty much watched and read everything that he did and everything that he liked. It was like, so I would say like in my time of life, this was like post Tarantino, pre Tom Waits, Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was really trying to figure myself out a little bit at this point.
Right. Right. Okay, so yeah. This is a young screenplay writer finding his voice and venting some frustrations about his sport.
Yeah.
All right. So with that in mind, so we can start reading it. There are two characters in here. We have John and Vinny. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. So how about we'll have you just read the stage directions and you be John and I'll be Vinny.
Okay. All right. So this is Sweat the Small Stuff. Written by Ben Berryman.
Great title, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I wasn't thinking of a Kevin James stand-up special, but it's named the same thing. All right. So, exterior, house, driveway, late afternoon. An old station wagon pulls halfway into the driveway and stops in front of a bicycle that is laying on its side. John Stenton, teenage, thin and tired, gets out of the car and throws the bike out of the way. Interior, house, front door, late afternoon. John enters the door and drops his bag. On the side of the bag is some lettering that reads, Billington Wrestling. John. Vinny? Hey, Vinny, you left your damn bike in the driveway. Kitchen. John slowly walks into the kitchen and looks around to see if anyone is home. He notices a note on the door in the refrigerator. Note. John reads a note which says, John, went to dinner. We'll be back later. Love, Mom and Dad. Kitchen. John looks over at the stove and stares hungrily at a beautiful slice of pizza for dinner. Yeah, I know, Tim.
I like the description of beautiful slice of pizza.
Thank you. Oh, I thought you were going to comment on my typo for stairs.
For stairs? Oh. So yeah, you've written that as stairs. No, I generally don't notice homonyms all that much, and I am also too distracted by the beautiful slice of pizza. What for you is a beautiful slice of pizza?
Okay.
Because you're from California, and they don't really have those out there.
Oh,
sorry, California.
Yeah, well,
about your pizza.
I find myself kind of halfway through the New York versus Chicago
mm-hmm.
debate. I like a crust with some chew
uh-huh.
to it. Essentially, like, if you could just make the pizza from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon games.
Oh, man, those were good.
Yeah, with the oozy cheese and the... Yeah. Yeah,
but it was oozy, but it didn't fall off the slice. It just kind of, like, dripped a little bit there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, New York pizza to me tastes like, I don't know, like burnt, I guess. Like, I don't know, maybe not burnt. Like, it tastes like ashy.
Some people describe Starbucks.
Yeah.
Everything in New York is burnt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I like a little chew
mm-hmm. okay.
to it.
All right, so imagine a very thick slice of pizza here.
Yeah, some pepper. I picture pepperoni, but mm-hmm.
this is what would have tempted you.
Yeah.
Was this something your parents did, by the way, just like left you food around the house that you weren't allowed to eat by your own rules?
Not really. I remember it seemed like before the first match we always went to Chili's, like the day before.
Really?
I was like, why? Like, I can't eat anything. Like... Yeah, I remember freshman year, I didn't really know anything about weight cutting,
mm-hmm.
so I went to Chili's and I got like a salad and I got a bunch of water, and then I came in the next day and I was like, I just ate salad and water. I was like, oh, right, that weighs stuff. It's not air. So there, okay.
A bit of a science course involved here, too.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, water doesn't have any calories, but it actually weighs something.
Mm-hmm. When the season was over, were you able to go out and binge a little bit, or did you try to keep?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That was pretty much like the only thing that kept me going towards the end of the season. So, like, yeah, my parents always promised me there was like a really like exquisite buffet
mm-hmm.
around here. I forget the name of it. Where they had like lobster and steak, and they're like, we'll give you that. But like, I never got it.
That sounds like the Steak Loft.
Yeah, but it was like all you can eat. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like it was just like a lie, maybe, to get me through it. I don't. Well, no, I don't know. I never
your
actually
can cook though.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So, John looks over, sees the beautiful slice of pizza for dinner. What happens next?
Bathroom. John turns. Oh wait. Yeah. So bathroom. John turns on the lights and looks himself in the mirror. He turns on the shower and strips down to adjust his boxers and socks. He steps on a nearby scale to check his weight. His face changes from relaxation to confused and worried. John steps off the scale, takes off his socks, and steps back on. When John sees the same weight, his expression goes from confusion to frustration. He steps off the scale and kicks it. His hand reaches to turn off the shower. Kitchen. John picks up the dinner plate from the stove. He opens the refrigerator door. John begins to put the plate away, but he stops to smell the pizza and puts the plate down on the shelf.
Oh, John, you're just torturing yourself.
Yeah, didn't think that one through.
No. You know? No, he's not going to be able to sleep.
Nope. Bedroom. Night. Bed. There's a pile of clothes on John's bed. John begins to put them on, layering long-sleeve shirts, sweatpants, and sweaters. Laughing is heard off-screen. Doorway. Vinny Stenton. Then, 12 years old, at the doorway, holding his stomach, laughing at his brother. Leave, Vinny. Vinny stops laughing.
So how much weight you gotta lose this time, Tubby?
5 pounds. Vinny begins to lightly chuckle. John throws a shoe at him, which he dodges.
Wow, the state tournament is tomorrow. Are you sure you can make it?
I always pictured Vinny sounding like a lackey in a gangster movie.
You named him Vinny. You're gonna get this voice.
Yeah.
And can I ask, can you lose 5 pounds in sweat over a night?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's not great, but...
It doesn't sound like it would be.
No.
How do you feel after losing 5 pounds in sweat?
Not about like you'd imagine.
Aside from sticky, I mean.
Yeah, you're sticky. You're very tired. You just feel just gross, I guess. Oh, like... Man. I'm trying to think what it was like, but I can't really describe anything. It's just terrible. It's like swimming with your clothes on in a hot tub.
Oh my goodness.
And then just having to walk around with that like feeling.
And then you got to take another guy down who is hopefully is feeling exactly the same way.
Yeah. Right. The worst is like sometimes you'll cut weight and then it turns out the other team doesn't even have a guy at that weight class. So you go out to wrestle like nobody.
Oh.
I did that my senior night. We were wrestling East Lyme and they didn't have a 130 pounder. So I cut weight just to go out and receive a forfeit.
Oh, well, at least you won, right?
Yeah, so.
W is a W.
A W is a W, yeah, exactly. All right, so, state tournament, you sure you're going to make it? John, yeah, but can you please leave me alone?
Why should I?
Well, if you don't leave me, I'm going to beat your little head in.
You don't have it in you. You're just a fat pansy.
These are very old-fashioned insults for a 12-year-old.
Yeah, well, I mean, Vinny, you know, he was raised in 1950s Little Italy, apparently. So. Yeah,
I mean, what could you expect from
him? Let's see, you don't have it in you, Pat Pansy. I might not beat you, but I'll tell Mom that you're the reason the bra section is always missing from your Sears catalog, you little pervert. This was
pre-internet, right?
There was internet, but like... You had to share a computer with everybody.
Right, and it was in the dining room.
Yeah, exactly. So
that might as well be pre-internet.
Yeah, he's a survivalist, if anything.
Never stop me.
Yeah.
All right, so Vinny says, "Hey, man, don't get angry at me. It's not my fault you're a fat ass."
Vinny leaves quickly, dodging another shoe thrown by John off screen.
Vinny is cruel.
Yeah. You're a little son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Den. John, who now...
I'm sorry. I saw Den, and, like, because I'm still in that Italian mindset, like, it's Den read, like, then to me. Next. But this is taking place in the Den.
Denny throws another shoe. Yeah. John, who is now wearing several layers of jackets and sweaters, turns off the lights, revealing some boxes surrounding an old, worn exercise bike. John slowly waddles towards the bike. He looks the bike over and thoroughly shakes it to check the bike's sturdiness. A weary John sits on the bike and begins to pedal. As soon as John begins to pedal, the bike pedals stiffen up and the bike breaks. A frustrated John gets off the bike and pushes it on the side in the middle of the floor. He begins doing push-ups on the floor near the bike. This is essentially just like in a horror movie when the cell phone doesn't have service.
Yeah.
The den doors open, and Vinny walks through holding a big slice of pizza on a paper plate and a large bottle of soda. He steps over the bike and sits on a nearby box. He begins eating the pizza, moaning with enjoyment. John points at the door in a threatening manner.
Manner spelled. M-A-N-O-R.
Yeah.
I'm going to criticize you for now, since you brought it up.
That's fine. His hands are made of tiny mansions.
Right.
Dude, leave now. Vinny shakes his head, no, and continues to eat the pizza with more and more enjoyment. And stop eating my pizza.
Hey, you're not going to eat it anytime soon, which is a fair point, Vinny. I honestly don't see why you're worried about making 140 anyway.
It's my weight, Vinny. I've been wrestling there all year.
That is true, but Donovan Smith is at 140, and he kicked your ass.
That was 2 months ago, Vinny. People change.
Yeah, but you still suck.
John gets off the floor and chases Vinny towards the door. As he runs from his brother, Vinny trips over the bike and falls face first. Interior waiting room, night. Frustrated John sits in a chair, shaking his head in disbelief. We zoom out to see that sitting next to him is Vinny, holding a bloody rag over his nose with his head tilted back. We realize that this is a hospital waiting room. Fade out.
So can we explain? I'm a little puzzled at this ending.
Okay.
Why there? You get to the hospital room. This felt good to you.
You know, I couldn't. I remember I wrote this in a Parks and Rec class. Mm-hmm. It was like a screenwriting class, and it was like you had to have it 5 pages or under. But I still had a whole other page, so I can't really use that as an excuse.
Right.
I thought it like, yeah, at one point. I had John just like getting up from the chair and just start working out in like the waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I don't know. Uh-huh. I wasn't very good at ending. a lot of things. A lot of the stuff I wrote, like, after this was almost like Twilight Zone-y with little twist endings. Mm-hmm.
Well, this has the feeling of a twist ending. I'm just, like, I feel like something really important here happened and I've missed it.
Yeah, no, he just...
They go to the hospital and then the thing ends.
Yeah, he just checks, you know, trips over Chekhov's exercise bike and then breaks his nose.
Well, was it the exercise bike in the first one that he moves?
So
because it was just a regular bike in the first one, and then he's on an exercise bike.
Yeah, and I think later, he pushes it over.
Yeah,
pushes it on the side in the middle of the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I should have made that like in a hole there. And anyway, it's okay.
You know, we look back on these things.
Yeah.
So what do you think of, like, when you read these now? Because you've written plenty of screenplays.
Yeah.
Since this one. What do you see here that you feel like this still reminds me of my writing? And what do you think that you've, like, let go of and grown from?
I think it's still pretty visual. I'll give Young Ben that.
Uh-huh.
I think my goal has always been to write something that if the dialogue was out, you could still tell, for the most part, what it was about.
Mm-hmm.
Which I try. The dialogue itself, not super happy with. I feel...
It really is not the worst dialogue. It sounds natural, but maybe not natural for, like, a 12-year-old.
Yeah, I feel like there'd be a lot more swearing.
Yeah.
In it, like...
You were in a Parks and Rec class, though. It's not like you were going to come in with a Tarantino script.
Yeah, and I thought, like, there was a lot of, like, local short films getting made at the time, which I actually, like, pitched this to a group of, thinking, like, if I don't have any swears, like, people, like, it's family friendly, like, more people are going to want to make it, because more people are going to see it. It's not how it really works.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So this was a choice you made at the time. It wasn't just that you didn't have a filthy mouth at the...
Yeah, I mean... I was a teenage boy.
You're right.
Literally at the time I wrote it. So, like, I knew that that's not what they talked about.
Uh-huh.
But I just don't think the world was ready for the shock of...
Anything you would have written at that time would have been fairly tame.
Yeah.
I think. Because this was, you know, pre even Superbad.
Yeah. Or, like, pre, like, Role Models. And
yeah.
Like, that's what I need. I just need a little kid just cussing up and down. That's what that's missing.
Yeah, if John had dropped an F-bomb in every line, and if Vinny had just been kind of a lot more vulgar down the line, especially with the pizza, you know, I think I've just been ruined by Seth Rogen movies at this point. I can't just enjoy something wholesome anymore.
Yeah.
It's like when you play Apples to Apples, and then you play Cards Against Humanity, and you try to go back to Apples to Apples. And...
Yeah. Well, I mean, if this was like a Judd Apatow comedy, it'd be 30 minutes long with a script this long from them just riffing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And this is probably what the average length of a Judd Apatow script.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah. This was actually like... So this was an important piece, I guess, for me. It's not my best work by far, but, like, so I remember pitching this at the meeting, because, like, there was a bunch of local film guys there. I was like, you know what, like, I'm going to pitch this, and, like, guys are going to want to help me work on it. And then, like, I got maybe two people talking to me, one of which, like, really was cool, because he kind of looked over my, like, he humored me. The other, like, all they had to do was, like, criticize my storyboard. Oh, I was like...
Your storyboard?
Yeah, they're like... Well, these look like the same shots. I'm like, oh, that's a shot, reverse shot. It's two different characters.
But, like... You go home and you yell at your dad.
Yeah. Well,
first you eat popcorn in front of me. You can't draw.
It's all your fault, Dad. Yeah. No, I did call my dad after the meeting, because there's a woman that he worked with who was selling a camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I called him, and I was like, F these people. I'm writing my own... I'm making my own movies.
Uh-huh.
So I ended up essentially emptying my bank account to buy a camera.
Right.
And a microphone. And I just started making my own things. So yeah, I started... Like, after this, I ended up not even shooting this, which is...
It meant so much to you.
It meant so much to me that I ended up not even shooting it. Uh-huh. I didn't want to have to work with a kid.
Right. that makes sense.
I feel like Vinny should have been fatter, too. But that's another thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I ended up making a horror movie. Because that's like... Mm-hmm. What do I have?
Well, I think that's why so many people start with horror movies, is because you can really make them with very low budget. You don't even really need the Carousel of Blood. You can just, you can go right into it. It's all about making the shots creepy more than it is.
Yeah. And I was, man, I was so pissed too, because I made that horror movie and then I tried getting it at the festival that I tried pitching this for. And they're like, well, your sound's a little off, so we can't really play it. I was like, what? And then I go to the festival and then there's people's sound who's like worse than mine.
I don't think they just wanted you in there. It's like, oh, it's the storyboard kid again.
Yeah, the storyboard kid. Yeah.
Thinks he's going to make movies about wrestling.
Freak buys a, brings a poster board of a storyboard. Don't tell me how to shoot my movie.
I suppose that was a little presumptuous.
Yeah.
Of you to give the director the shots that they're going to need. But you wanted to look like you knew what you were doing.
That's what I was told to do. I didn't know anything about it. Like, and pitching was terrifying too. Cause,
oh, I bet.
Like, I hate public speaking, especially like that. I mean, I'm fine with it now because I tend to just open up with a joke and then everybody kind of, you know, it's like, easy, Ben, this is a funeral. But yeah.
Yeah.
I was terrified doing it. It's probably why the pitch was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't really fake it till I made it. But
what was your pitch?
I just pretty much said the whole thing. I just said what the story was about. Guy trying to lose weight, and his little brother keeps pestering him. And that's it. I was like, it'll be...
But don't worry. Vinny gets what's coming to him.
Yeah.
So if you were going to rewrite the story today, where do you think you would end it the same place? What else would you change other than adding some foul language to get the kids involved?
I think... all right, so here's what I would... I would, like, I feel like I would make it longer, and I would make it, like, this, like, the first in, like, a series of unfortunate events that prevent him from cutting weight.
Okay, like what?
I don't know, like, one of his friends calls him and they need a ride and then it...
He falls into a bucket of pizza.
Yeah.
Beautiful pizza.
I would have made it a... Did you ever see Trojan War?
No.
Oh, man. It was like a 90s comedy. I think it was the guy that played the older brother in Boy Meets World. And it's just him trying to find a condom. A feature-length film about him just trying to get his hands on a condom. And everything wrong happens.
I could see that. So that script was about 4 pages long. And then it was just whatever they wanted to shoot that day.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Cool. When you read this, do you have any reflections on yourself as a wrestler, like trying to cut weight? Is this something you, a part of your life you miss, or something that you feel like you grew away from?
I'm glad I wrestled. Like, I feel like, it's one of the hardest things you can like do, especially like at that age. I made a lot of good friends doing it. I was able to coach, which kind of let me figure out that I like working with kids. So a lot of good came from it. I was just miserable doing it. Like, I think the first year, every year, the first week, I would always end up with a class with another wrestler and be like, let's just quit. Like, this sucks. Like, do you remember being this hard? No, I don't remember being, this sucks.
Yeah, every endeavor that's worth doing at all, I think, has a moment where you feel like it's the worst thing that you could possibly be doing, and why would you be doing this thing?
Yeah,
my mom. That's how you know it's worth it.
Yeah, my mom. My whole freshman year was like, you know, you're really good at basketball too.
Were you?
I was good at basketball. Like, I went to camp as an elementary school. Like, I could shoot the three. But my cousin Peter wrestled, so I wanted to wrestle. Like, I thought it would be good for me. My freshman year, I was varsity, because we didn't have anybody in my weight class. So I was essentially a sacrificial lamb. They just told me to go out there and not get pinned. That was essentially like, our team's rocky.
Well, were you able to do that?
Yeah. My first varsity match, I wrestled a kid that I think he placed in the conference. He was a senior, like a huge kid, like no neck, just pretty much like if you were to draw what like a cliche like trope of a wrestler is.
I think your dad drew some of these looking at the storyboard.
Yeah. Well, this kid was like 5'11", like 120 pounds, like just solid. And I remember wrestling and are walking out there, and our 152 pounder just looks me dead in the eyes and goes, "Don't get pinned." I was like, oh shit! So I didn't. Because if you get pinned, you lose. They get 16 points.
Uh-huh.
If I lost by technical fall, which essentially is just a mercy rule.
Uh-huh.
So if you're losing by 15 points, they just stop the match and they give the other team 5 points.
Okay.
So that's how I lost.
Uh-huh.
But
but I didn't get pinned.
It was my proudest moment. Like, I should have just stopped there. Nothing good after now.
that's pretty good. Yeah. So just one last question. So this was sort of like your first foray into was writing at all, or did you do much writing before screenwriting?
Yeah, writing, especially like short stories, mm-hmm. has been something that I was always enjoyed doing. It was my favorite mm-hmm. thing in elementary school. Mm-hmm. I did a couple like fiction writing classes in high school. Mm-hmm. They were okay.
Mm-hmm.
What
kind of outlet was screenwriting for you that you weren't getting from like wrestling, and why did you feel like you had to write about it?
I feel like I could be myself,
mm-hmm.
I guess, a little bit more. Like, it was a lot more of it was the most creative outlet
mm-hmm.
that I think I've ever had. I could write the movies that I wanted to see, kind of tell the stories that I wanted to tell. Mm-hmm. I feel like I really grew my voice
mm-hmm.
after this. I wrote a lot of crap
after
it, but I think I grew a lot from mm-hmm. learning that. I've learned a lot about like my own tastes and
mm-hmm.
kind of who I am. Like, even like working on short films, I learned a lot about. I think I learned to like speak up more too from all this.
So mm-hmm.
it was really good experience for me, even though there's a lot of garbage.
I learned to speak by saying a lot of things I would rather nobody ever hear.
Oh yeah, I mean, screenwriting I feel is one of the most rigid ways of writing. Mm-hmm. I feel like, because there's at the time, like, even when I wrote this, like, I was a structure Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody tends to be whenever they start out, because mm-hmm. you're just told like it has to fit these three things, like,
right,
you have to have this and this,
right? I still struggle with writing screenplays,
yeah,
for that reason.
They're tough. Mm-hmm.
They, when you read them, especially when you read them by people who've been writing for a while, they seem really informal.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
Like
the language is informal, but the structure really super isn't. And that's very confusing to me.
Yeah. Like the Vince Gilligan Breaking Bad pilot is like mm-hmm. super like casual
mm-hmm.
when he writes it, and like at the time I was like, who's this guy? Like, some of his descriptions, like, you would not fuck with this man. I'm like, who are you to tell me who I wouldn't? And it's probably like why I got turned down a lot, because people weren't really
mm-hmm.
they were probably more focused on
mm-hmm.
you know what
he knew what he was talking about.
You know what he was talking about. Yeah,
right,
definitely.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you for bringing these in. I think we should film this.
Yeah, we just need
producers.
Yeah, convince a couple high school guys to take their shirts off. wait.
Well, no, let's not phrase it that way.
Okay.
I'm just going to go ahead and end it there. Let's just
start throwing shoes at kids.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening. If you have a story you'd like to share, or at least get off your chest, you can email us at paragraphslostshow@gmail.com or follow us at paragraphslost on Twitter. Our theme music is by Haley Hewitt. Our artwork is by Andrew Wallinger. We'll see you next week.